This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today I have with me
Sue Sterling.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Sue, you've written two history books on local things. Last time we talked about your book on the history of Awatapu College, but you've also written a history of the first four decades of Manawatu Striders.
Yes, well, I've been a member of Striders since 2006.
Yeah. What is Striders?
Oh, Striders is a running and walking group in Palmerston North, and it began life in 1983 as the Manawatu Marathon Clinic. And this was in the days when people had first started, ordinary folks, doing marathons for health reasons. And two people had come up, well, come down from Hamilton, who'd been in the marathon clinic in Hamilton. And they saw there was nothing like that here. They tried a few of the...
Did they come down to Massey?
No. Okay. I'm not too sure why he came up. The man had been a pilot for crop dressing. It was partly to do with that, I think. And yes, so they, in the end, formed this club. They'd been here about a year by then, hadn't found a club that really suited them, so thought, we'll form our own. And they had this amazing meeting, and well over 100 people attended the meeting.
So what sort of age?
Well, he was in his 40s at that time, but of course the age has ranged, and there'd be some younger.
It's not just a young person's thing doing that?
No, it was very much for adults, really. Okay. They had a little foray into having a group for young people a few years ago, but it didn't really last. It was very labour-intensive, put it that way.
Yeah, when you say young, you're thinking school age?
Yes, school age. Okay. They had a little one for that. Yeah. But the people who started it moved away from here.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's always been for adults, really, Striders.
They keep going into 50s and 60s?
Or? Yes, very much so. In fact, there's some people in their 80s in the club who are still walking. None of those are still running, although there's a lady in her 70s that's still running. So people do keep going.
But what about injuries? How many have had hip replacements?
Well, you wouldn't be running probably if you had a hip replacement, but the lady who is still running is as thin as anything, and she just keeps going. That's Marion Hilda.
Okay.
And she's a very fine runner and very fine athlete, really.
Yeah.
Some people have kept going.
And it's competitive or just for pleasure?
Yes, well, it's always been a little bit competitive, but that was never really the ethos of the club. The ethos was complete, not compete. So it was, the idea was that you completed the marathon rather than went hard out. So
would you go as a group, or are you doing a circuits, or...?
Well, in the Striders, they meet... The traditional time is a Sunday morning. They meet, and they still do, at 8 o'clock. And so it's usually 5-6 groups, some walkers, some runners, and you go with people of a similar ability.
So how big's a group?
Well, in the old days, I think it would probably be about 30 or 40, but now a group would be... 5 or 6 probably.
Yeah, yeah.
The numbers have certainly declined because, say, people have got other interests, and triathlon began, cycling began quite big members. But to begin with, it was just a running club, and the walkers started coming in after a few years, so by the 1990s.
How did they, I could just imagine, you've got all these runners, and then suddenly people come and say, oh, I just want to walk. How did the runners respond?
Well, what they had was, they always had a sort of group of walkers for the broken down runners, apparently. And I didn't join this at that time. but I heard this so that there'd be, you know, some people would have injured themselves or just not be feeling very well, might have had a dose of flu or something. And it just mushroomed from that, I think, really.
Now, presumably they wouldn't all be walking a marathon, would they?
No.
So the runners would run a marathon each Sunday? Or half
not
marathon?
Every Sunday, no. They'd be aiming to run a marathon a year at that time.
Okay. So to run a marathon... when you say a formal marathon, you mean?
Yes, a formal marathon.
So this is the sort of training up...
Training up for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how far would they go on a...
On a Sunday, well, it's usually been a 2 hours that day, so it'd be about 15K for walkers, and probably over 20 for runners, yeah.
Is it power walking? Or just
yes, on the whole. Okay. And some people did proper race walking. So again, there was a range of ability even among the walkers. Yeah. So some people were right up to almost national level.
Yeah.
And others are just, not exactly stroll. I don't think anybody really strolled. They're all pretty fast walkers.
Yeah. Did anyone use sort of Nordic Pulse?
That was a bit frowned upon.
Really?
I was the only person who actually used a pole when my knees started going.
Used one pole or two?
At that point, I think with the club, I was only using one.
Because I found using it well for hiking and up and down hills. Two poles.
I always used two for hiking. But it was more that I had balance problems, so one was actually enough. But no, the poles were not really accepted. I don't think there was nothing in the
in the rules
to say you couldn't. But, certainly having dogs and things was a bit frowned upon. One or two people would bring a dog and they soon sort of, I think, got told politely that, you know, we don't really want people walking with dogs.
Oh, they can join the dog walkers.
But what the club eventually became was very much a club that ran events, and that's still to this day is what they're really known for.
Okay.
So they run... in the summer, they have this series of seven Ks, seven Tuesdays in January and February, and that gets, you know, 1,000-2,000 people, and that's just amazing.
And where's that held?
Well, it's usually held now at Angley Park. It started at Angley Park, and obviously can't just stay at Angley Park for 7K. Yeah. So they're using all the paths around the rivers now, using the various bridges and tracks by the river. But it started off at the Hokafitu Park, and so it would have been more roads. When there were fewer cars, it was more possible. And that was an interesting one. It started just as a walking event in the 1990s. And then more and more runners, they'd come and look apparently, and eventually they admitted runners as well. Yeah.
Okay. So who would participate? Do anyone local?
Local, basically.
And the idea is you'll do... weekly.
The idea for the 7K is just to get people fit and interested, really.
Yeah.
Particularly after overeating around Christmas.
Yeah.
So it starts about mid-January, and you get families going. I mean, it's a nice event.
Oh,
and of recent years.
So it's an evening?
Yes, it starts at about 6:15. They do now have, well, for many years, there have been evening training sessions as well. So Striders on a Tuesday evening has a group of runners and walkers meeting at 6:15. And sometimes on a Thursday evening. So the Super Sevens, as it's called, is 7K thing. That is always starts at 6:15, which gives people plenty of time to finish work and just have a quick snack before they go down.
And it's a good social event as well.
Yes. I mean, that's one where people will chat when they're walking around, or you take your kids with you, take friends along. It's a big social.
And it takes an hour to an hour and a half.
Good people can do 7K under an hour. Even walking. Even when I started out, only be, 45 minutes or something. And I was never a top walker. And the runners can do it in half an hour. But of recent years, they brought in shorter distances to attract families. So there's a 3K distance, and I think there's a 5K as well now.
So all the young kids get... Because if you start them young, then they'll enjoy it later. I've heard that's about tramping. You get them out in the bush very young.
And there's other events they run. One of the early ones they started writing their very first year, so that was in 1983, was a half marathon event. And that used to run from Paschal Street, again using the roads. Mm. And it used to be on a Sunday before there was Sunday trading, or much Sunday trading in the 1980s. And then gradually it had to go more and more off-road. And for many years it now begins at the Massey Gym and then uses the tracks. And in 2016 it got changed to, well, not changed, but a marathon was included in that whole event. So now it's a marathon, a half marathon, 10K, there may even be a 5K as well. Again, to just get more people involved.
Yeah.
And so, it'd be over 1,000 between all those events.
So there's some key people driving all this?
Yes. There's some people that are very keen on events. There was one man, he's just actually withdrawn from helping with events, but he ran them for a long time, a man called Phil Pyrie. And he set up... Phil Pyrie.
Pyrie?
Yes, P-I-R-I-E. And had set up an organisation in the early 2000s to have all the equipment for running event, the cones and the signs and some training, so he became a certified person to run
events. I was going to ask about that, the skills.
And he's one of the people that was appears in the book.
So
there were some very, very interesting people. Again, I interviewed people just the same as I did for the other local history.
Yes, because this is quite a substantial book, isn't it? Manor Two Striders, Runners and Walkers, the first four decades.
So it's in four chapters.
A
chapter for a decade. And I tried to make it sort of an argument around the title. So, like, one of the titles was Challenging Times, which was
decade. You've got like, the chapter one, the beginning, chapter two, decade by decade, second decade, Changing Times, Cementing Success, and then Challenging Times.
Challenging Times was because they didn't have many runners. The runners had all either become walkers or given up. And then we got a very good young administrator. So for quite a, for many, many years, was a paid administrator in the club. They had much money they could actually pay for somebody, and she was very, very good. Kate Southern, she was the person who started the park run in Palmerston North, which is the little 5k race,
the park run,
which happens every Saturday. It's not part of Striders, but many people who are in Striders also do park run. Park run is an international event. It's run all over the world, and it's in the days since we've had phones and so on. And so basically there's an app that you get, and your time is recorded, and all over the world they usually start at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. So our one in Palmerston North that Kate Southern started in, I think it was 2017, starts by the Fitzherbert Bridge, goes 2.5k upstream, 2.5k downstream, and your time gets recorded at the end. And then you can, later in the day, you can look up and see what your time was. All done
and
by
how
volunteers.
Everyone else did.
Everybody else did. And how everybody else did across the world, if you wanted. And, of course, you can take part in events in other places in New Zealand. So there's park runs. In Wellington, Auckland, Christchurch, but also in London, probably Singapore, and all over. So people almost gather them, and there's T-shirts if you get to, you know, 100 park runs, because it's all being recorded. So in a way, it's kind of moved on a little bit from these local clubs.
It's more casual.
It's more casual, and people don't have to volunteer. But some people do volunteer. And interestingly...
When you say volunteer...
Volunteer, because you need people to take to record the times. You need people to set out the
course. So it's not done through GPS and things on the phone?
No, it's not through GPS, no. There's an actual course set out, and so you need a turnaround point.
But on the phones, with a lot of apps, you just sort of...
You could do, but it's not done that way.
Okay.
So you need... probably 7-8 people to run a park run. And so, yeah, again, you need volunteers. And that's been the big thing about Striders Club, really. It's the number of volunteers that have been required to run the many events that
and
they
hold. Do you have a problem with that? Or you,
as always, there's always a group that are very keen.
Yeah.
But you often need just a few more, and it's getting those few more, I think.
Yeah, because a lot of the volunteers, though, in general, voluntary organisation, membership tends to be more older and older and retired people.
Yes.
You've got that with Striders too?
Very much so.
Really?
Very much
okay.
so, yeah.
Even though you've got several runners who are...
Luckily, so Kate Southern did wonders for the club.
Yeah.
So in the decades that I did, went sort of 1983 to 1992 and so on. So the decade that started 2013, it was beginning to really decline the club at that time, and people were talking about it publicly.
Yeah.
And then Kate came in like a good fairy, and just everything changed. But the other challenge, of course, was COVID. So the challenges that COVID gave the club, some events couldn't happen. They had to be cancelled. Even the regular training couldn't happen for a little while when we had the actual lockdowns. Fortunately, and I did a little bit of analysis, the Manawa 2, we were not locked down for that long.
That's
so we were quite...
And you could just distance.
Soon able to get back to at least the training sessions.
You're allowed out of your house for exercise, so was it too far to go for this, or
well,
too
it's
many
more
people?
That you're walking with other people who are out of your bubble.
Okay.
So if you remember, you were allowed out of your house for exercise, but you had to stay within your bubble. So
you could say that people go
distance.
Off at 10-second intervals.
Yeah. people who are on their own, they certainly try and make a little bubble with somebody else who was one of the walkers. So some informal walking went on. Yeah. And then when we were allowed to at least meet, probably at level 3, some did begin, but some were very reluctant for a long time. Because remember, we had a lot of fairly elderly people who were very vulnerable.
Even now, in the sort of several years after the start of COVID, there's people who are being very cautious.
But
getting back to the volunteer thing, I was just saying you've got couples. If one's running, then would the partner say, yes, I'm happy to be a timekeeper, or is it more you get, if one's doing it, both would do it?
Oh, I think there's a mixture, really. I know when we joined, my husband joined first, so my husband was a runner, and he persuaded me to join as a walker, and I think we would both volunteer at some events. You just picked and chose what you did. And sometimes nobody would volunteer. You'd take part in the event. So you did that a little bit. They ran one from Fielding for many years. That had to stop because of the traffic. So the traffic changed the walking a bit. And that one then became Ashurst to the Esplanade.
So what was it in the change of just a general from the 1983 on, just an increase in the number of cars?
It's a huge increase.
And that was so noticeable that...
It really changed how they could run events. Particularly on a Sunday, because that Fielding to Palmerston one, often sponsored by an organisation that had... And maybe a shop like Kelly's.
That's a footwear, so they'd have all the running shoes.
They had a shop at that time in Fielding and one in Palmerston, so they would sponsor the event. And it became the Kelly's to Kelly's, and then maybe there'd be a new sponsor, and there was a gym here called Curves for a while. Curves to Curves. They just realised that it was just getting, even on a Sunday, too much traffic to be safe. And I think safety became a much bigger thing in the 2000s.
Were they just running along the side of the road, or you had people saying caution runners and signs?
There were always signs up, caution runners, but nonetheless, you were running on what were basically state highways. So not great. So about 12 years ago, that one got canned, and it became this Ashurst to the Esplanade, so along the river walkway. But permission had to be given to go through the section that carried on for a number of years, but it became more and more problematical to run it.
Yes.
So last year, I think they just did something Esplanade to Esplanade, you know, more of around
so circuits
it,
and things.
And I presume that's what
they have increased the number of at least walking tracks in that area.
It means that you can run them without. So one of the big problems when you're running an event is, and again, it's volunteers, is what's called marshalling, so telling people where to go and controlling the traffic. And you need a lot of people if you're running it, if you've got the event on the roads. So that's another reason to take them off the roads.
Yeah. You need council permission? Is it the council or Ministry of Transport?
It's the council, I think. So that was another reason for taking them off the roads and putting them onto the tracks. And people like going on the tracks.
Yes,
they enjoy it. I mean, some people really hate walking on roads.
I have seen in the some time back when the gorge track was open, you'd find some people who would be running that. Would your groups ever be doing anything sort of in the bush?
So increasingly, the runners have started doing off-road running. It's become quite a big thing.
Okay.
And that was another thing in that last chapter, as I mentioned. And now there's a lot of events that are totally off-road like that.
Yeah.
Some very good ones around Tarawera and Taupo that people take part in. And so, of course, they train in the gorge. My husband's run in the gorge, and I know Kate Southern, the lady who organised a lot of this. She loves running those kind of tracks, and it's really appealed to the younger people.
Yes.
I mean, you have to be a good runner to run on what I think is very difficult terrain. I would never do it because of tree roots and things.
They
managed to do it with, you know, not too many falls at least. The sport has evolved, and of course the equipment has evolved. I mean, we have fantastic running shoes now and gear that dries almost immediately and
the active wear seems really good.
So that's all good, and they've always had their own uniforms right from the beginning. Running uniform and then there's
so these are special t-shirts Manawatu Striders or something.
So they feature in the book too, and the colours, it's really been the green and white, but the blue came in as well.
You're going to be doing it in the bush, then you need sort of the glow.
So then they went to white. They've had various iterations.
White with the logo printed on.
The green has always appeared, and that was the Manawatu green, the same as our sports teams have. Like the Turbos and so on. They have that as well.
Now, it is called Manawatu, but the Manawatu is actually a very big area. So it's basically Palmerston North, would you say?
Basically Palmerston North, Fielding have their own very good running group called MOA, and that's very much an off-road one, and they do cross-country in the winter. So they have their own. But again, there will be some people come from Fielding. Mm. When the club began, it was actually a small group began in Fielding. So there was a subgroup in Fielding, and that lasted for a few years. So there was a sort of second group of the Manawatu Marathon Clinic, as it was then called, in Fielding.
So, and do the Striders do other things, sort of social events for the members and things?
Yes, there's usually a midwinter event. There's one coming up in July. There's a Christmas do.
So this is sort of a dinner in a dinner
and large place, sometimes games and things.
So how many members? Through time, what have members been?
I think the maximum was about 300, and I think it's 100-150 at the moment.
That's still good.
And they support one another. So, for instance, one of the long-standing members who began the club in 1984 has died yesterday, actually. Oh. And
Do you want to name the
Peter Jones?
Okay.
And his son is also in the club. He's a very good walker, David Jones.
Yeah.
So Peter Jones began as a runner in 1984, and he features in the book and was very supportive to me.
Yeah,
so the funeral will be on Friday, and our current president has suggested that we wear our club gear, because there's also jackets that we can wear. So I have a couple of jackets that I could wear and matching trousers. So you use those often when you're running an event, particularly the winter events.
That's a good idea, so people can see who the officials are.
Yes.
Do you need a lot of first aid type people for you?
Yes, there are. I think there's usually, or they get St John's to come to the very big events.
Yeah.
There was one poor gentleman who collapsed when doing one of the Super 7 events.
Yeah.
And two of our members who had first aid training kept him alive through CPR until the emergency services arrived.
Mm.
So he was a survivor due to our members.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, one of the really amazing things that happened.
Yeah, because often with the first aid courses, I used to do those. You go for the refresher and they'd ask, how many of you used it since the last course? And in general, it was next to nothing.
But, yes.
Which makes it very hard to remember, besides which the things change each time. They used to think this was the right idea.
Yes. Well, these two women did an excellent job. Yeah. And they were also people, the women who did the CPR were people I interviewed. Because, again, long-standing members of the club who were, who've done many other things. Mm. The other thing that they always run, in fact, one of those ladies, she runs a Relay for Life team.
Oh, yes.
And so that's very much for the big community.
Yeah.
And so Jackie Welsh, she's a great member doing that.
Yeah.
This is part 2 of 3. Listen next week for part 3.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.